This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Cigarette smoking causes about 1 in every 5 deaths in the United States each year. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, men and women who smoke increase their risk of dying from bronchitis, emphysema, cancer of the trachea, lung, and bronchus, and from coronary heart disease by many-fold. Smoking cessation efforts in the workplace and the community at large have played an important role in fighting these harmful consequences. Joining us with more on all of this are Teresa Hankin, a registered respiratory therapist at Upstate Medical University, and Cynthia Carey Woods, a registered respiratory therapist and the smoking cessation coordinator at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So getting people to stop smoking is key to reducing the number of deaths from all of these diseases I've mentioned, emphysema, lung cancer, heart disease. Tell us about that. Teresa.
It's proven worldwide that quitting any type of tobacco use can add years to your life, can help with your, if you do have a disease process, help with the healing and treatment of that process. An example being a cancer patient who, for instance, as you mentioned, had head and neck cancer. If they quit smoking, it's proven that it can help with their treatments, with the effectiveness of their treatments and the side effects with those cancer treatments. The Cancer Society here has pretty much wants to get that out there to their patients that if they quit smoking, even once they've got their diagnosis, that they can improve their quality of life.
So that's really true for all of these diseases, any diseases, whether you have lung cancer, emphysema, even the fact of coronary artery disease, smoking is the big culprit.
And the coronary artery disease is interesting. I can speak to the history at Upstate, and this is the 10th year of our being smoke-free, which transitioned into tobacco-free over the course of the years as the program evolved. And I think one of the biggest pieces of the cessation program is education. Most people have tried and failed several times, but when they come into kind of a formal program, they're able to understand a little bit more about the physiologic effects of tobacco use and smoking. And with cardiovascular disease, in the groups that we do, we can measure carbon monoxide levels, and people know enough about carbon monoxide to know that it's not something they want to be inhaling. It's not safe.
It's not conducive to life.
Right, exactly. Yes. But they don't really relate it to their tobacco smoking. So when we can explain how that impacts their cardiovascular health essentially immediately, and when they stop, how quickly those effects can be reversed, that's pretty eye-opening for a lot of people.
So just very briefly, Teresa, help us understand this smoking cessation program that's ongoing in the workplace at a very large institution like Upstate Medical University, and apparently these kinds of things are taking place throughout the country, both in the workplace and the community. And Cindy, you do these in the community at large,
right,
as well.
Right.
How does it work? Let's start with the workplace. How does it work?
So with the workplace, we have 6 smoking cessation classes that are offered here at Upstate for all employees at all locations.
Are those consecutive weeks, 6 weeks?
Yes. We also include dependents that in our program that are on eligible dependents can get free nicotine replacement and or any quit smoking medications. They get reimbursed. So there's that ripple effect. When you help one person quit smoking, it usually will go through the family members, loved ones. Very often at the cancer center or with employees, I help husband and wife, a mother and son quit smoking.
So basically they go for 6 rounds, and what takes place? How long do those, I mean, what is it, an hour and a half? What kinds of things take place?
So it's a 6-week program. In the traditional sense, we meet once a week for an hour. The third week is when the group quits, traditionally, and so they meet twice that week. So we might come in, if we meet every Monday, we'd come in on that third Monday. We'd meet, that's the quit day. And then we'd come back 2 days later just to check. Actually, we get to check carbon monoxide levels again as non-smokers. And we kind of reinforce things that are working for people and things that may be giving them a little bit of trouble, so we can kind of get them through that next first smoke-free weekend, which can sometimes be a problem
for
people.
What do you see as the major pitfalls or the challenges I mean, you've done this quite a long time now. You've seen a whole range of people who have been addicted to smoking. What do you see in terms of what are the greatest challenges?
I think Teresa hit on it. If you are in a family or in a household where there's other smokers, I think that visual cue for so many people is the biggest pitfall, because if they're trying to quit and they see someone else smoke
or smell someone smoking,
exactly, and they're struggling, that makes it really difficult for them to stay quit.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air. I'm Linda Cohen here, along with respiratory therapists and smoking cessation advocates Teresa Hankin and Cynthia Carey Woods. And we're talking about smoking cessation in the workplace and its importance, and the community for that matter. So basically, how effective is this in your experience, Teresa?
I believe that the program is very effective. It's educational. It's supportive. They know that there is someone here, their tobacco treatment specialist, that will help them and continue to support them through that journey, whether or not they do have some slips or relapses.
And do you find that it works? I mean, in terms of it being successful?
When Upstate went smoke-free back in 2005, we did some statistics looking at that, and people who actually participated in the program, and mind you, we also at the time gave them free over-the-counter nicotine replacement, so there was a medication component to that. But if they came to five of those seven classes that we just talked about, there was a quit rate of about 82%. So that was phenomenal. Now, understand that tobacco cessation is considered a chronic relapsing condition.
It is.
So people will start up again, stop again, start up again, stop again. So we have to go in with the mindset that we are here, like Teresa said, for ongoing support, and that it might take more than one or two times to get this right. When you look at it, smoking is the one thing most people have done longer than any other regular behavior in their life. And we're asking them to stop, to change. It may be their major coping skill. So in order for that to be changed, it's going to take some practice. And I like to approach the whole cessation effort as a giant practice attempt. You might not be perfect, but are you better than you were last week?
I think that's a very healthy way to look at it. The question I have is, in the community now with so much pressure against smoking, so many places where you can't smoke, restaurants, bars, a lot of other places like that. Has that had an impact on the success of a program like yours?
I think that it does. I have employees come to me on a regular basis and say, you know, I can't smoke here, I can't smoke there, that's really affected my socially how I feel about smoking and how I perceive other people are treating me. And very often that sparks them to want to start a quit attempt.
Yeah, and that actually, that whole notion that smoking at one time was cool, and now it's kind of flipped, or at least it had flipped. I guess the question I'd have, do you think the new generation, the younger generation of teens coming up, do you see that we're seeing some kind of a slide there towards smoking being cool again?
I think with the advent of the electronic cigarette, there is a little change in the mindset about the coolness, if you will. My fear as a cessation advocate is that that will lead people down the road of tobacco use.
That was
eventually
going to be my next question. So with electronic cigarettes, obviously the claims by the makers of them are that they would be an aid for people to quit smoking, a replacement, and other people who are concerned about it are concerned that it would be a gateway for younger and younger people to basically get into tobacco use.
We know that it is being used as a gateway. I hear it here in Central New York, and I do know of circumstances of young people that have used it as a gateway to other drugs and or conventional.
So it's worrisome.
And if you follow the money, the main manufacturers of electronic cigarettes are now the tobacco companies.
Yeah. So that does
huge,
that,
oh,
does,
huge
that leads flag. You down a certain path. Before we run out of time, I have to just ask each of you, what other efforts do you think need to be undertaken to aid in this goal of smoking cessation? I mean, do you think it's government regulation? I mean, what would you recommend? Cindy, start with you.
Well, in my work, I've mainly focused on cessation, but I would love to see more done in the area of prevention. because I think there's a, you can put a lot of money into that and save a lot of heartache and disease down
and
the road.
Where and how would you start?
It would be funding to programs like Reality Check, which is focused on that kind of teenage year. And
is that
how,
within the schools?
That, yeah, there's some state-funded programs that go into the schools and offer information on how they're being manipulated.
How about you, Teresa, briefly?
I really agree with the prevention and education, getting out there to young people and letting them know. A perfect example is that using electronic cigarettes can be a gateway to smoking.
Rather than
combustible cigarettes.
Rather than basically a replacement for them.
Yes.
Thank you so very much for coming in. Very important work you're doing. Very important work for all of us. My guests have been Teresa Henkin, a registered respiratory therapist, and Cynthia Carey Woods, also a registered respiratory therapist, and the smoking cessation coordinator, both of them from Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks for joining us. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.